Oh.
I'm all man when it comes to the crust.
Yeah.
SpaghettiOs is a soup.
Wow.
I'm a man of many earth tones.
Oh.
I think Cheerios are still hot.
Cheerios?
Cheerios are hot, babe.
Ooh.
It's like an avocado. It's raw.
The deuce.
Hey, everybody. We're here. I am in the sweltering heat of Arizona in the comedy condo. Are you going to keep your sunglasses?
I don't know, get rid of the sunglasses.
No, keep the sunglasses on. It's just fun. Let's just have fun. We see your eyes so much.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Is that better? All right. So I forget how this came up. I was talking to somebody about the phenomenon of comedy condos recently. Oh, you're so happy that you're in.
Tully and I are experiencing some weird technological phenomenon. Where
nobody can see.
No one can see. Well, the people who watch the video can see it.
If you were a member of our Patreon right now, you would see me with the halo that I so richly deserve, and which one day will be my heavenly reward. And you would see Jesse Mae Peluso surrounded by a fireworks display like her name was Katy Perry. Do you think you can summon it by doing the double thumbs up?
This seems to be the thing that calls forth my firework power. I just don't know exactly how to summon it.
Oh my god.
There's something here.
There's like a movie premise in this. The person who believes they have superpowers but doesn't. And so there it is. There it is. You got him.
Who's got superpowers now?
So you go down a dark alley and throw up double thumbs up and then get your ass handed to you.
That would be a great movie idea, especially at the end when they realize they don't have superpowers, but the belief they had superpowers
that was just,
all they needed.
Oh, that was your special power all along. I'm so sick of that twist. You never needed the rock. It was always in.
You didn't need. The crystal didn't hold the power.
Yeah.
Your belief in the crystals was.
It was always inside you, Griselda.
We, here at Pretend Friends podcast, I'm a comedian. Tully is somewhat of a comedian.
I don't.
Tully's very funny, but you don't characterize yourself as a stand-up comic.
No, I actually just noticed I still have it in my Twitter bio, and I got to get that out of there. I will be again someday. I will, but I'm not.
Well, you are in a unique brain, so you could have a place in stand-up comedy,
yeah.
But you were discussing the all-famous comedy condo, insider info.
Right.
So what? Someone like you, who's not necessarily a characterized... someone is a comedian in that category.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about the comedy condos?
Well, what I know about the comedy condos is it possible that Mitzi Shore, amidst pioneering so many other things, also, by the by, accidentally invented the comedy condo? Because here's the thing. there have been comedians since the dawn of time, you know, court jesters and what have you. But... But comedians up to the late 70s were always considered the appetizer, the amuse-bouche, not the main event, not the entree. Don Rickles Don Rickles did headline. What the fuck? But Don Rickles
sure
would maybe have like a singer. Anyway, the Comedy Store was the first comedy club, and we take it for granted nowadays, but it was an unusual and revolutionary idea at the time that people would come to see an evening of nothing but comedy. No other acts mixed in. And it was successful, and Mitzi saw that she had helped give birth to a whole class, a generation of comedians who were suddenly, they went from being out front trying to get people to buy two tickets so they could get 5 minutes of stage time to all of a sudden they were in-demand performers, and she saw the cocaine and alcohol definitely wasn't helping. They were starting to burn out. The Robin Williamses of the world, to name just one of the greats. And so,
Richard Pryor.
Yeah, and so she, well, I think he was already too big for this thing I'm about to talk about, so I am under the impression that I have been led to believe that Mitzi Shore opened the second comedy store in La Jolla, California, almost entirely. Now, obviously, she's going to make money on a second location. It was far enough away from LA that they wouldn't compete with one another, but she would send the comedians there for like a weekend off. You need to get out of the pressure cooker of your career in Los Angeles for a weekend. So she's like, go down there. she bought a condo in La Jolla so they could go and stay for at the beach for a weekend, but in exchange they would do some shows for her at night. And since then, comedy clubs have emulated that model, realizing they're spending more money on hotels weekend after weekend for visiting comics. It would actually be cheaper in the long run, of course, figuring in the equity they would get from owning a place rather than giving it to the Marriotts and Hiltons of the world weekend in and weekend out. To own a condo, and to when the comedian comes to town from out of town to perform for the weekend, they put them up in what has come to be known as a comedy condo.
Yeah, you're right. Mitzi created humorous hostels. Mm-hmm. With the same amount of bed bugs and crust. Yeah.
And then
I think you might be right. I have heard that legend amidst the comedians in the hallways of the Hollywood comedy store. And I'd like to dig her up and slap her just for the sake of it. Because as a woman, these comedy condos are not nice. This one actually isn't too bad. Yeah. These tend to be the nicer ones.
What do you mean?
The House of Comedy tend to have nicer comedy condos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but as a woman, you just... Maybe dudes are similar. Maybe you have the standard that we have. Maybe some women don't. Maybe I'm speaking out of line. But for me, I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. Even hotels in general are kind of gross. Everywhere's gross except for my place. I wash my sheets every week.
Good for you.
I'm not bragging. It's more of a confession.
I used to.
I have a hard time staying in places like
yeah,
this.
I used to when I was single, but my wife is nasty, and I realized that I was the only one who was holding up that end of the sheet cleaning bargain.
And now is that in jest? Are you being
No, I'm being totally serious. When I was...
You just called your wife nasty.
She's nasty. When I was out on my own, I had two sets of sheets, and every week I used to live on top of a laundromat in New York. And at the end of every week, I'd have a bag of laundry and I'd put my sheets on top of it and I'd bring it down to the nice Ukrainian ladies. And for somewhere between $12 and $16, they would wash my clothes and wash my sheets. And I would alternate week, and every Sunday night, I would change my sheets. But I can't carry this lady any more than I'm already carrying her. You know what I mean?
I mean that halo tells it all. You're the perfect husband.
I'm not.
You're literally the perfect.
Just
because
I'm a house husband doesn't mean I'm married to this house.
I'm trying to level out my shoulders. I don't know. This is a total non sequitur.
Like the last thing was it?
Uh huh. It's all this whole. We could have had three different titles.
Now that
friends.
Now that I finished leveling out my shoulders, let me do something that makes no sense.
Yeah, I there's three other titles we could have had. We could have had called this podcast, What
Uh-oh.
The?
Uh-oh. And
what was
here
that?
Come the balloons.
You know, this is like the new BMW car where you can control the system of it with your hands. That's what's going on in this video. Maybe it's just Zoom. I don't know.
For people who aren't watching
this podcast, Zoom
just made a bunch of balloons go by and you're not really sure why. Anyway, go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, the Zoom video keeps... erupting these fun, weird things with my hand gestures.
Yeah.
We could have called this podcast three different things. We could have called it My ADD Life. We could have called it Pretend Friends, which I'm still mad mm-hmm. about.
More balloons.
And, or we could have called it Non Sequiturs. Like you and I are the non sequiturs,
yeah.
But we speak in non sequitur.
It's true.
It's very true. And you know what? I think there's so many focused podcasts out there.
What?
Are you trying to?
I'm just trying to see if I can make some shit happen.
Tully's just landing a plane or helping it take off. He's trying to. You're jealous of my Zoom capabilities. I'm a witch over here.
Yeah, nothing.
I don't know what the balloon, like the balloon thing is confusing though, because I don't know how I'm. This is going to be a purely visual podcast. This podcast is on acid. This episode of The Deuce brought to you by LSD.
Maybe we should make this one episode for free for people on Patreon since we're just talking about video the entire time.
This is a fun one.
What were we saying?
What was the ADD thing before?
I don't know how to turn this off. Okay, there we go.
Oh, we were talking about how you called your wife nasty and you're a perfect husband.
I
would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, I'm... The sheets only get changed if I change the sheets, is what I'm saying. we...
You know, I can understand that, though, because your wife...
Has a job.
Is running a business. Yeah, no, that's what it is. And there's other priorities
right.
for her.
Whereas I have a pretend job with a pretend friend. Right.
Yeah, exactly. She's a mom. She's running
Yeah, I'm
household.
Not a parent at all.
She just has this boss energy. Right. And so it seems like you guys have a good partnership.
Mm. Wait, I got to say this. I got to say this quiet. We went to Disneyland on a date yesterday.
Oh, that's right. You went to Disneyland.
You don't have
on
to.
A
you don't
date.
Have to whisper.
Okay, so
you don't have to whisper. My son can't hear you. This fucking lady. She brought a fucking Disney cup into the house, and even my son is 11 and not even bright by those standards. And he was like, "Hold on, why the fuck do you have a Disney cup?"
Wait, is that what he said?
No, I wish. I'm sure that's what he thought.
That would have been amazing if your kid spit out a cigarette and was like, "Hold yeah. on, why the?" Fuck, do you have a Disney cup?
Kids don't smoke anymore.
And what was in the Disney cup? Was it non-alcoholic?
Yeah, it was iced tea that she had bought on her way out of our clandestine, they must never know, hooky date, a la Ferris Bueller.
Oh, yeah, I didn't finish Ferris Bueller. Ferris Bueller.
In your defense, you've only had Lajola. 5 fucking years.
I think it's been about 5 months now. Mm-hmm.
In your defense,
you know, I was thinking
about 90
this.
Long hard minutes.
I was
you
thinking
didn't like
about
it. You didn't like. You would have finished it if you'd liked it.
No. I was thinking about just in general. Right now, I feel like a lot of people are not finishing a lot of things they normally finished. I know this about myself. Mm-hmm. I know I have. I usually function with a lot of plates. I'm balancing a lot, and I have a lot of. Pots on the stove, if you will.
I will.
Is that the saying?
Sure.
What yeah. is it? Pans on the stove, pots on the stove?
Each one is better suited to cooking this or that. I think you can use them interchangeably.
Right. There's a few walks.
You're sauteing, you're simmering, you got a lot going on.
Yes. I like to have a bunch of things that are cooking at the same yep. time. So I know my flow and I know my workflow and I know that sort of process. I never, in the history of being myself, have never not finished a movie. And in all the movies I've ever gone to in the theater, I've walked out of one, and that was Mother by Darren Aronofsky because it freaked me out. I'm saying all this to say that as an avid moviegoer and movie lover, movie cinephile, as I am, for me not to finish a movie is indicative of a larger issue. And it made me think, I wonder if other people are noticing this pattern in themselves where they aren't even finishing things they really love.
So you loved Ferris Bueller.
Oh, I loved
just
it.
Just not enough
I was pulled in right away. I was pulled in right That's away. Great. I didn't know. I loved that I learned some new things. I loved that I learned that Matthew Broderick, I don't know if this was a put on, has a very apparent and thick New York accent.
I think he may have played that up a little bit, but I think he might actually be a New Yorker.
And there was this beautiful spectrum I got for him because soon after I did not finish Ferris Bueller, which I do plan on going back and watching it because I just loved the way they filmed and Breaking the Wall. I thought I was like, oh, this is revolutionary for its time. I had watched and finished and binged. I was able to binge. The series Painkillers, which stars Matthew Broderick as the lead Sackler family, the head of Sackler family. And what, you know, everybody knows the story. If you don't Google the family that caused the opioid crisis, it's a great article from the New York Times that gave birth to this story and all the stories that you basically have heard about this family. But to see him as Ferris Bueller and then as Sackler, I realized, oh, this gentleman is very talented. His capability of portraying a wide variety of characters is obviously a wide span. So those are the things that I realized when I started to watch the film, and also breaking the fourth wall and the characters, and it felt so encapsulated in that time. It made me want to go back to that era, even though it's a little predating Jesse May Peluso. It made me want to live in that time. It just felt like a really cool memory from that space and time. In that era. Yeah. So yes, I will finish it and I'm very intrigued by it. But to my original thought, we're not finishing things. And I had this epiphany. I go, huh, I didn't finish a movie, and it happened another time. This isn't like putting on a movie and falling asleep. This is like starting a movie and then stopping it and then going someplace else. So I don't know what to attribute it to, but I do know what to attribute it to. I'm just sick of talking about the quarantine and what happened to us and the pandemic. But essentially, I think being stuck at home on our phones and it ruining our reward system in our brain, fucking up the flow of
the dopamine,
those neurons being fired. Yeah. I think that's actually that's what happened.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. I'm more inclined to like not finishing a project that I successfully ran a 10K. Thank you very much this past weekend.
You did?
I did.
Did your toenails fall off?
No.
I hear that's a thing that happens when you run these marathons, that your toenails fall off and your nipples fall
maybe a marathon. But no, I did notice actually that like the tips of my toes were a little like, if you ever wear like shoes that are too tight, the next day you can feel like it's not a bruise. It's something short of a bruise that anytime anything touches on the front of your toes, you're like, oh yeah, that's a little tender. Cause it was doing that a lot yesterday. It was like rubbing on something or whatever. I've had that and I'm well aware that it has to be because for 6.2 miles, but who's counting? I was like pushing, you know, my toes against the front of my shoes, but it was discomfort, would even be a strong word. A mild sensitivity in my toe tips is what I would call it. No, thank goodness came out of it with all finger and toenails. But I wanted to do it. So long story, I was ready to quit on doing it because the early going with training was very discouraging. They always say in high level athletics, which I now engage in, you know, you have to distinguish between soreness and pain. Soreness you can play through. Pain is, you know, you have injury or you're at risk of giving yourself injury. And I felt like I was in pain and I was like, ah, shit. You know, you always know this day is going to come, but you're also not ready for it when it finally does come. That like my body's,
what day?
Someday my body's not going to let me run anymore. And I'm like, oh shit, I think I might be at that day. And I got that after my third or fourth training. But I got some really helpful advice and words of encouragement from a lot of people, some of whom are probably listening to this right now. And I stayed the course and I went out there and I ran like faster than I was hoping to, planning to, by accident.
What was your time?
I did exactly 8 minute miles for...
That's fantastic.
I was trying to do 9 minute miles and there was a...
You should put the halo back
there up. There was a pace lady... Well, I'm pretty excited about it. So maybe I'll celebrate.
A pace lady? What was she, like a troll running behind you?
Oh, that's
like
I just have pizza on my
aerobic
head.
Aerobic troll?
Oh, wait, maybe I get it.
What's a pace lady?
There you go.
Oh, there you all go. Right.
I'm number one. No, Japan's answer to Gatorade is a drink called Pocari Sweat. And
ooh, that sounds contagious. What is
Pocari
it?
Pocari Sweat. I know, right? I went to Thailand. I thought it was dengue fever, but instead I got the Pocari Sweats. No. Oh, I think, you know,
jeepers.
It's like...
Put that on a t-shirt.
Shit just always gets lost.
New deuce alert merch.
I'm going to give you all the time you need to get that sentence out correctly. I'm going to just sip my coffee here.
New deuce merch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Deb, you have to flash a new deuce merch alert and a new
no, you don't merch you don't alert you don't deuce. Flash
whatever I said the first time.
You don't flash
you
any
have to
alerts
blast that across the screen
until we have a prototype, until we have a mock-up for one piece of merch. I don't want to hear about your fantasy merch, woman.
Oh. It's not fantasy. Things take time.
So to your point about people abandoning projects, I think there is a distinction that ought likely be made between I was going to run a 10K or I was going to put a deck in the back of the house and I got halfway through it and just abandoned it because I got distracted because I was looking at TikTok. And then there's also just like I tried to watch a movie and didn't finish it. To me, those are like two different things. I do find that I have trouble like my for example, my kid just got really into watching Stranger Things and it became his thing with my wife to binge and watch all the seasons. And he's always been bugging me to join them because I watched the first season and I liked it. I'm kind of the reason he started watching it in the first place. And I find myself making excuses to not sit down and watch it with them. And I think the reason is it has actually become very, very hard for me to take in media that I don't set the pace for. I think because of the phone, I'm just always just like, I'm looking at that, I'm bored, go on to that. Oh yeah, what was the deal with blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that I do think is, I don't see that as a pandemic thing. I see that as the pandemic is just sort of incidental. That I don't know if when you were a kid and if you read the Choose Your Own Adventure books, I find it very, very hard to do passive entertainment. Even like I like the NBA, I like watching NBA games, but like I will do laundry so that I have something to do with my hands while it's on. Cause for me to actually just sit on the couch and watch dudes run back and forth for 2.5 hours, it's like I won't do it. I'll find an excuse to get up and walk away.
I have a theory for that. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the reasons why we rarely sit and do one thing besides all these other contributing factors that we can attest to is that by doing one thing alone, it makes us closer to only being with ourselves. And I think a lot of people, and I'm not pointing this at you or saying this is you. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are afraid to be alone with themselves. And when they're just doing one thing, that's one step away from only being with themselves and their thoughts. And I think obviously the distractibility factor is through the roof right now. But I do think that's interesting. Entertainment that you can't control and watch on your own time, but that still falls into being able to be distracted. It's so frustrating. And I wonder, like, I was frustrated with myself when I couldn't finish a movie. And, you know I have and struggle with ADHD and ADD effects and symptoms. I'm still very wary of what triggers that and how to manage it and cope with it. And this is something different. And so it made me feel like, man, this is something I really love and I can't even finish it. What's next? The day I don't finish a sandwich, walk me into the ocean.
Yeah.
What's the point if I can't finish a sandwich?
If I can't live in a moment with a hoagie.
If I can't finish a whole hoagie.
If I can't find my grind with a grinder. If I can't be subsumed in a submarine.
If I can't finish a whole submarine, sue me. So sue me. If I don't take a full walk after I finished all the food in my walk, that was a stretch. Yeah. Soy me.
Fucking love club sandwiches, man.
I had a delicious sandwich. Mm. I was in upstate New York.
Yeah, oh, there you go. All right, all right. I had a random conversation with a lady in a checkout lady at Trader Joe's just because I was wearing Pittsburgh Pirates hat, which I just wear for no reason. And she's from Philadelphia. And she like was like, I just moved here. Where the hell do I get bread here? Like she was in the middle of a sandwich crisis. Because people who are from, you don't understand how good you have it in the Northeast when it comes to bread and bread-oriented, bread-constrained food products until you get away from there and you realize that we live in a yeasty wasteland.
Yeah, yeast is definitely starved in other parts of the country. But when you go back home man. To the East
Tell
Coast.
Tell me about your sandwich, you Jesse. It's been so
long. Oh, yeah. So I was home and my brother-in-law loves to cook. That's one of his love languages. And actually, we were discussing love languages. I asked him, I said, what do you think your love language is? And I asked him what he thought my sister's love language is. And we all have them. We all display them at different times. One is just more dominant than another, I believe. At least for myself, that's true. And my sister has one love language. She's a unicorn. She just likes gifts. And the language is only for her. So just buy her gifts and she'll be happy and she'll do whatever you need her to do.
So she's incapable of showing love by giving people gifts?
She's definitely a gift giver. She loves to give gifts, but she loves to get gifts. She loves stuff. Mm. Oh, she loves it. She's just...
I sent you a gift. Was she jealous of the gift that I sent you, your Halloween gift?
Oh, it's in her drawer.
She stole it?
Yeah, she brought the Gobble Ghoul shirt, put it in her drawer. I go, excuse... She just assumed it was for her. She goes, someone got me a shirt. I go, excuse me. Someone got you a shirt? What shirt? She sent me a picture of it, and I sent it to you. I go, there's no way someone got you a Gobble Ghoul shirt. First of all, Deb's been sending me Gobble Ghoul stuff for like 40 years.
Oh, no. Did I...
She found some Gobble Ghoul. Didn't you,
Deb? Did I step on your Gobble Ghoul toes?
No, you didn't know. You spoke about Gobble Ghoul too.
I just traipsed willy-nilly into the Gobble Ghoul forest.
It was just so funny. She's like, look, someone got me a t-shirt. I was like, no, girl, that's for me. I had it sent there because it was there in time in a timely manner. It was very sweet. And actually a really nice soft shirt.
Looked okay. I had to get it to you in time for Halloween. Who the hell needs a Gobble Ghoul t-shirt on November 1st?
Oh, I'm going to wear it. I think the coolest thing to do would be to wear Gobble Ghoul all other days but Halloween. That's a cool emo move that I'm going to have to do. But... So back to the sandwich conversation. Mm. So my brother-in-law loves to cook. He's an Italian. He loves to cook, and that's how he shows his love. So he said, I made this sandwich for your aunt and your uncle, and I want to make it for you. And it's this Wagyu beef. What's that? Like corned, not corned beef, but like maybe that is corned beef. When the beef gets kind of like red and orange. Is that a corned beef sandwich?
I don't think anybody is corning Wagyu beef. Especially not some
Wagyu. I take it back. Mm-hmm. It's not Wagyu. You're correct. Yeah. It's Kobe beef. Kobe corned beef sandwich from Wegmans. I'm going to fucking Google it because I can see you doubting me right now.
I doubt this on so many levels. You guys enjoy yourselves.
For real.
Kobe beef costs like $4,000 an ounce, but somehow I can get Kobe beef sliders at fucking Quick Check.
I'm telling you right
get
now.
Get that Kobe shit out of here. It's fine. It's good. Kobe it's beef. Tender. It's tasty. You call it whatever that you enjoy it and you call it whatever you want. Just don't ask me to take you serious, dude. They don't sell Kobe.
Wegmans?
They don't sell Kobe beef at the goddamn bowling alley. Regardless Hold of how up. Fancy your Lucky Strikes is. Mm-hmm.
Wegmans Kobe corned beef sandwich. They're trying it out right
it's
now.
It's not Kobe beef. Or
perfectly marbled.
It either is not Kobe beef or it is a crime against Kobe beef.
You're just against fusion. And you know what? You literally have a fusion family. I would think someone like you would appreciate a little blend of culture.
Sure.
Here. Wegmans limited edition Kobe corned beef sandwich, perfectly marbled American style Kobe beef gets topped with Thousand Island dressing, Swiss cheese.
Got a little slaw in there?
Sauerkraut.
That's where you lose me, but that's a valid sandwich direction. It's just not one I choose to follow.
Well, that's because you have hate in your heart.
I will make you that sandwich. I'll corn some beef like you never imagined. Yeah, you got the marble rye there, sure.
It's
you know
honestly,
I corn my own beef. You know who you're talking to here.
Well, you should throw up a couple more medals for yourself then. You just are about your corned beef. By the way, the Kobe corned beef sandwich was about $45 a pound.
Oh, for real?
My brother-in-law loves, like, he just has expensive taste, and he loves things. In his mind, the more it costs, the higher quality it contains.
I do think
so. He was like, I made this sandwich for your Aunt Janet and your Uncle Rick. You got to try it. So he made it for Emily and I one night.
Who's Uncle Rick?
And it blew my mind. Uncle Rick? Who's Uncle Rick? How dare
Not
you
who
ask?
Is, you say, I made it for your Uncle Rick. Is this your Uncle Rick? You
my
got
Uncle
an Uncle Rick,
Rick
and you're never going to bring that up?
Yeah, he looks like you right now. That you look like an
I
Uncle
bet.
Rick. Yeah, I have an Uncle
like
Rick. They
like
ate
a spare
sandwich.
Mario brother?
Yeah, you do. You look like it would probably be Antonio Mario. They're like, your name doesn't even flow right. My nose is runny because everything is so dry in Arizona. My body's doing its best to keep me hydrated through every part of me. So anyways, he made me a corned beef sandwich once, and I loved it so much. He made it a second time for me on my flight. And I got to tell you, I wrapped it in parchment paper.
And then I wrapped it in tin foil because I don't mess around with my sandwich. I don't want to get... That's a trick to make your sandwich so it doesn't get soggy.
Okay. Parchment, yeah.
If you put a little parchment paper, if you're going to travel, you want to keep it fresh, a little parchment. Mm-hmm. And a trick that Nancy told me about, this works for salads and sandwiches. If you have to wrap up a salad, like put a little tin foil or saran wrap over the salad bowl, if you toss in a couple slices of paper towel in there, it absorbs the extra moisture and can keep the salad a little bit crisp. Obviously, it gets a little mushy, but it works for the sandwich too.
Yeah.
But I'll wrap up my sandwich story. I swear to God, I get on the plane. I unwrap that sandwich and the entire plane, you could hear them collectively sniff.
Yeah. Right, because you stunk up their fucking plane with your
knew it was Wegmans
with
Kobe
your
beef.
Wegmans horse meat.
They knew it was Wegmans Kobe Bryant beef.
They go.
The gold
that
standard.
Shit was for the boarding area. You missed your window, lady. Corned beef is.
Let me ask you a real
corned
question.
Corned beef is not a crowd pleasing smell. Just and I take
look.
Take
we know
it,
you're a hater. We know where you're lying.
Take it from a guy who corns his own beef on the regs. It's just not a pleasant...
You've revealed yourself. What? You've already revealed yourself. We know where you stand on corned beef, and this will be a very polarizing episode because of all the hate towards corned beef. And I guarantee you...
You know, we've done... We've
our
done,
fan...
We've,
don't we have a fan named
we've
Rick?
We've done promos before about me corning beef. Like, I am already on the record identified with corned beef. You are...
This is what I think about your corned beef.
You're the corned beef interloper.
There's what I think about your corned
great,
beef.
Great, you threw up a...
I have never tried your corned beef.
I offered it.
You know, someone who brags about making food and doesn't share it with his
every year, Jess,
is a hateful person.
Every year, Jesse, right after St. Patrick's Day when they put it on sale, I buy like 3 pounds of it, and then I get to corning.
Here's what I think of your corned beef.
Nobody can see the emoji buttons that you are hitting. I don't know how
you're wearing a chef hat.
And nobody knows
and
that.
You're
but
wearing
you.
A chef hat because you've corned beef.
About this I can be.
How hard is it to corn beef?
Super easy. I mean, if you have a little corning packet, you just
you know what
water.
I would put up if you were corning beef. You know what I would do? I put a couple of these up. I toss a couple
caution
of those
signs
up around the kitchen.
I see. I feel like you're just trying to make the jokes fit the emojis now. I can't lie. It's a little cheap. The comedy.
How do you get it on
the
your
comedy?
Head?
Look, everywhere I go.
I want that.
The comedy condo thing, it's right. I've seen comedians complain about comedy condos online where there's just like that little extra grit or grime on the toilet that wouldn't bother you so much if it was in your house. But since it's somebody else's toilet grime, it really gets under your skin and it just doesn't make you want to be there anymore. What is that? Because I feel like we all know that hotel rooms present the illusion of cleanliness, but in reality, you probably shouldn't touch anything on the bed or on the floor or heaven forbid, in the bathroom. And yet, the condo thing, it has to be perfect, pristine, or else it's like a dead giveaway that this is a gross place that isn't fit for human habitation. You know, the hotel... seeming cleaner is just a great big lie.
The hotel
seeming cleaner?
Cleaner
than the comedy condo.
What do you mean?
I think you people are bummed out when
seeming cleaner. I see what you say. I don't agree with that. Like, I don't come in here with a more magnified view and judgment of the cleanliness. Yeah. I'm only looking at it from the perspective of someone who travels a lot, just basic.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And also, it's different. It's like in a hotel, you might have some professionals and entrepreneurs and, you know, different types of people. Hey, probably some people who are going to give a speech,
a keynote,
on some groundbreaking technology.
I'm in town for my TEDx.
Helping.
Right.
Yeah, some groundbreaking medical device. People in town doing these really amazing things to help society. When you're in a comedy condo, the only people staying here are comedians and they're vile people.
Oh,
so there's also that energy when you walk in, you're like, oh man,
What happened on that couch? I know what milk comics are.
You know
like.
Exactly what happened on that couch.
I don't
couch.
Want to sit yeah. anywhere. I'm sitting on 6 inches of towel.
No, I didn't even think of that. You're absolutely right. Because, like, the hotel is the average of the sum of humankind's hygiene and cleanliness standards. You are just the average comedian's standards, which are quite a bit worse. Jesse, you realize there's a half a dozen girls in Arizona that if you opened the door, they would already know the layout of that place and like where the sugar is in the kitchen. That's a fact.
Oh, there's no sugar. There's no sugar.
Really?
There's no water. There's not even water here. It's Arizona. And I know it's like the off season. There's no water and no AC.
And no water. Yeah, that's a crime. These are unsafe working conditions.
It is
are
a you crime in, because you, mm-hmm. I'm expected to show up and be in tip-top shape for my
right.
show.
Yes, you are.
I need to be hydrated. Mm-hmm. This is faucet
oh
water.
Oh, my God. You're drinking tap water. You're a goddamn headliner.
I'm a hero. I'm basically a hero. You can practically see the amoebas yeah. in here.
You're not in Phoenix, are you? Oh, what? For real? Wait, I think I played that club last time I was in town. We stayed at a nice hotel.
Where'd you sit? Where'd you sleep?
No,
you
I wasn't. I think they tried to give us the condo. And me and Jason were just sort of like, we've made it like 15 years without sleeping in the same house. So if there's any way you could, we stayed in a very, very nice hotel. I got some spots there that you can that you can hit. I can't help you with the condo.
This was a creature of habit because the thing that's convenient is right across the street from the club and I have all my dogs with me. But the fact that I'm sitting uncomfortably makes me annoyed. Yeah. Like I'm annoyed. Sure. Like I left my house to entertain your locals. Right. And I think hydration and some general AC is not too much.
No, you're right. And these are just the differences between, you know, when you're a kid, you could go visit a friend and you sleep on the couch and that's fine. You just get to a point where you're just like, barring catastrophe or emergency, I'm never sleeping on anybody's couch ever again. It's just, I'm done. I am done with that, you know, and you're at the...
Yeah, I'm at that place too where I'm like, if I come to visit you in your town, I'm going to stay at
right.
hometown.
And where you are staying would have been just fine when you were 27, negative 4 years ago.
Thank you.
Right. But you're a grown-ass woman.
I'm a Netflix host.
You are.
You didn't even mention my new show. How dare you? You talked about your corned beef sandwich
You
for an hour.
Talked about your
I've never even seen your corned beef sandwich.
At least I made the one I was talking about.
I've never seen your corned beef sandwich. Have you seen any of my shows?
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Yes, and you know, I tell you what, Jesse. You know what? You're gonna eat those words like Wagyu corned beef because I not only watched your show, I hit the I really like this button, which means now every time I go on Netflix, it's like, hey, look at this crap that you would love. Yep, I earned those fireworks. I did. I
appreciate
I sample.
That.
I mean, I didn't make it all the way to the end. A la Ferris Bueller.
Okay, so you'll finish my show when I finish Ferris Bueller.
Ferris, you got 30 minutes left.
I'll finish your
parts when you finish Ferris Bueller. How's that?
I'll finish Ferris Bueller if you make me a corned beef sandwich to accompany my viewership.
Done.
Are we done?
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, we're done.
No, we're done. Bye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.